I said that to go into this message because I believe what I'm going to preach tonight, I believe that it can change your life. I believe that. And you know, I, as a preacher that has to get up here and preach, and sometimes I'll be really gut-wrenching and honest with you, I preach, and it's like my faith is somewhere in Antarctica. Cold. It's like maybe some of yours is sometimes. Because we fail to believe God. But tonight, I'm not that way. I believe that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we would ever ask or think. And I believe that God is able to do in this room tonight things that you and I cannot do. If we could do it, we wouldn't need God. Hello? If we could do it, it would be done by man's efforts and by humanity. But when God does it, God comes and changes it, and God changes the trajectory. When we begin to look into this scripture, and for those that's up, for the ladies that's upstairs helping us, if I was going to title this message tonight, I would just simply title this message, The Unexpected Miracle. Because I believe that God's getting ready to do something. And I believe that God's getting ready to give somebody a miracle in this room tonight. You say, we're just our crowd. This is our regular little Sunday night crowd. Nobody, I don't know what you're going through, and you don't know what I'm going through, and I don't know what you need, and you don't know what I need. God's going to come through this place, my friend, and God's going to touch some folks. I believe that. When we begin to read this in the book of Mark, you know the story, you know it as well as I do. You pick up in verse number 21, chapter 5 of Mark. And this is what the Bible says. You can read this also in Luke, you can read it also in Matthew. But I chose to read out of the book of Mark tonight. And the Bible says, and when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side. In my Bible is all marked up. If you looked at it, it's written up, marked up. But when I read that scripture, this is what it said. Now hang on. I'm going to try to lay this foundation so you can get a hold of it. And when Jesus was passed over again, in my mind, he had been there before, but he still knew that there was something on the other side that needed to be done. And maybe you're in this room tonight, and maybe Jesus has came by your way before, and maybe tonight is one of those times that I believe that Jesus is getting ready to come back by your way again. I can remember what God did then. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I need a fresh touch tonight. I need God to do something in this room tonight. I need Jesus to come by my way again, because what I had then may not be what I need right now. So Jesus came by again. There was a reason for this. I'll get into it a little bit later. And it said he came by again by ship unto the other side. And much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And this is what he said, and he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. Then she shall live. Look at his faith. Just come and lay your hands on my daughter. My daughter, the Bible says in the other place that Jesus went by and Jesus told them there that she was sleeping, and Jesus said, Talitha kumi, which means, my daughter, I say unto thee, arise. He worked a miracle. We know that. We know that Jesus went by Jairus' house, and we can read that in other places as well. But yet, in verse 24, we pick this up and it says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Jesus went to Jairus' house to touch His little 12-year-old daughter. Here's the unexpected miracle. Watch this. He was on his way one place, but yet somebody intercepted him. My God, I feel him already. Woo! He was on his way one place, but somebody along the journey intercepted him as he went. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm at tonight. He may be passing by on his way to Sandra, but there's something in my spirit that's not going to let him get away. Too many times we've let God come and go, and we've had so many other things on our mind and so many other agendas. We had to go here and we had to go there. Can I just be real tonight? And I'm not trying to be ugly. I know that man created church schedules. I understand that. We in the New Testament sense, we're the one. Men created Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. There's nothing supernatural about what day of the week you come and have church. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I believe that when the church doors are open, I believe we all need to try to be here as much as we can. I remember cutting my teeth in the Church of God years ago, and Sunday night was miracle night. You were afraid, if I can use that word lightly. You were afraid not to come to church on Sunday night because you knew then that's when somebody was going to get their breakthrough. That's when you knew that somebody was going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You knew that somebody was going to get filled with the power of God. We didn't want to miss church. I may be loud out there, but Jody, if you can give me a little bit right here. I believe that God was going to do something. But when I read this, there you go. When I read this, it got a hold of my heart because Jesus was going one place. And there was this woman, the Bible says in verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years. The Bible said, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard that Jesus came in the press behind, excuse me, let me go back. And when she had heard of Jesus, and there's a comma right there. When she had heard of Jesus, she heard that this man, Jesus, John Starnes used to sing the song. He's that sea walker, that blind man healer that came and he came, that humble man from Galilee. But we can see here in the scripture that she had heard of Jesus. She came in, the Bible says she came in. And as you look at this, she came in the press behind to touch his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And the Bible said there, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of a plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? Now, I don't know how you feel tonight. I don't know. I like that song, Shackled by a Heavy Burden, and He Touched Me. I love that song. I sang it a few weeks ago. Come on, church. We've let Him slip through so many times. We've walked in and we've left. When Jesus was here the whole time, Brother Beckner, to heal our bodies. I don't want to be crazy tonight. I don't want to lose my cool tonight. But God can get you to the place you don't need that. Oh, He can do that. His time and His way, His plan is His plan. But there's no doubt in my mind that He can't do it. He can do it. And the Bible said that she pressed in and said, as Jesus said, who touched my clothes? When we begin to look on the latter part of this verse, it says there in verse number 31, and the Bible says, and the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thrown in thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? Hey, let me throw something in there that I didn't think about before. The multitude didn't know that who Jesus had touched, but Jesus knew who Jesus touched. Amen. The people around you, they may not know who touched him. But when he touches you, not only will you know it, but he'll know it too. Jesus knew it, that Jesus knew that somebody had touched him, because the Bible said that he felt virtue go out of his body. 32 says, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And the Bible says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what she had done in her, what it was done in her. See, there's something going on in her. And the Bible says, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. How would you feel if you was that woman and said, I did it? Not knowing how Jesus was going to respond. And I'll get into some things here about 8:30, 8:45 that will make sense. Because she wasn't supposed to touch him. She wasn't supposed to be nowhere in the crowd. She was ostracized. She was an outcast. But yet she had enough faith that if she could touch Jesus... Hey, when I get like this, I'm telling you what, things just like fireworks goes off in my head. I need to ask somebody a question tonight. Are you tired of being an outcast? Are you tired of being that one that sees everybody else walk by and get their miracle? While everybody else is walking by, you continually feel like God has forgotten you and God has forsaken you and God has left you out. But my friend, God has not left you out. God knows where you're at. God knows how to get what he needs to you, and he knows when you need it. But this lady in this whole story, and you can read the whole thing. We're going to go back to the first and walk our way through some of it. When we think about the unexpected miracle, we think about the unexpected. There's an old adage that says, and I know this is a military term from years ago from one of the presidents. I believe it was, if my memory serves me well. But it was a term that they used, always expect the unexpected and always being prepared. When this event took place, and this is where I thought about this, it's because Jairus and those that was with him was going to see Jairus' daughter. Then all of a sudden, here's this unexpected woman along the journey. But in all of the unexpectedness, if that's a word, she received her miracle. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm just simply saying that you may be coming to church for one reason. You may be coming to church tonight and think that it's Sister Sherry's turn to get her blessing. But in the process of Jesus coming to Sister Sherry, if you will, something deeper begins to stir in your heart. Faith begins to rise in your heart. Something begins to rise up on the inside of you. Something begins to think on the inside of you. If God can do it for her, God can do it for me. When I began to think about this, I thought about a song. I think Martha sung this song. There's a lot of songs that Martha sung through the years. But may I just take a few moments to share with you the words of a song. These words, I'm not going to try to sing it, but it says something like this. You may feel down, and you may feel like God has somehow forgotten. You know the tune, do it already. And it says that you are faced with circumstances that you can't get through. But right now it seems there's no way out, and you're going under. You sung that, hadn't you, Martha? And it says, God's proven time and time again, he will take care of you. And then the chorus says, he'll do it again. You know the song, he'll do it again. If you just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, hasn't he always come through for you? And he's the same now as then. Amen. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. The second verse of that song says this: God knows the things you're going through and how you're hurting. He understands just how your heart has been broken in two. He's the God of the sun, the God of the stars, the God of the sea. He's your Father. He'll calm the storm. He'll find a way, and he'll fix it for you. There's a bridge in that song. I really like that bridge, because this is what the bridge says. He says, he's still God. And it goes out, it's a long span there, and he will not fail you. This song, this message is just enough for me to come by tonight and to tell somebody that God is getting ready to come by your way again. And what God has promised you, it might have been 25 years ago, but God's not asleep. God has not forgotten you. And I believe that God is fixing to raise you up, and God is fixing to do something in this room tonight. My God, I feel him. He'll do it again. Look at your neighbor and say, he'll do it again. When we look at this, he goes on and he says, when you're looking at this, it says, he's still God and he's not changed. When you look at this, it says, I know he's still God and he's fighting for you. And then that latter part of that bridge says, just like Daniel, just like Moses, just like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and then it goes back into the chorus, and he'll do it again. My friend, I don't know who's in the room. I don't know who needs to hear that, but I just need to come by and tell you tonight, if you'll give God praise in this room, that God's getting ready to do it again in your life, in my life, in this church. And my friend, if you expect it tonight, that God is getting ready to raise you up, and God is getting ready to do something. When I began to study through this, I began to look at different aspects of this scripture. And one of the things I began to come across was this particular woman. The Bible reminds us of that several times through this. She came there, and the Bible says in verse 25, when you look at that, it says that in the scripture there, that in Mark 5 and 25, it says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood. An issue of blood. The Bible doesn't exactly tell us exactly what that is. But I want to turn back to the book of Leviticus just a moment. Because when you look back at Leviticus in the scripture, in the book of Leviticus, let's see, chapter 15 and verse number 25 through 27. This is what it says. And it says, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, and she shall be unclean. This woman here was not even supposed to be in the crowd. This woman, because she had the issue. Now, when I read that, and the commentary said different things, there's really no medical diagnosis that we can pinpoint and say, well, it was from this or that or the other. But the issue is that she had a repulsive bleed that would not stop. 12 different years, the Bible said. 12 years this woman had actually dealt with this particular thing that was going on in her body. The Bible went on in verse 26, when you look at that, and it said, every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her. The bed is the bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sitteth upon was unclean. And in other words, the disease was in the blood. She could not have any contact. And she actually was basically, and this is the only word I can think about it, she was quarantined from society. How many times has the enemy of your soul told you, God don't love you? How many times have you felt like that you didn't fit in? Can I say something respectfully tonight that's nowhere in my notes? I don't have a clique, a clan, or a club. Somebody said, well, I don't fit in that clique. I don't fit in that club. I don't fit with that group. I ain't got no group. I work with my leaders because leaders have responsibilities and I expect them to do what they're supposed to do. If they're in leadership, I expect that. I expect it. I don't even want to compromise that. I don't want to compromise myself in that area. My friend, I love everybody in this room just exactly the same, even on Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. But what would it be like if you were an outcast? She felt like an outcast, Brother Everhart, for 12 long years. Now, I don't know. I'm gonna stretch this thing, Bob, just a little bit. I'm going to stretch it. Can I stretch it a little? Thank you. She might have often been sitting in the shadows. Sherry, I thought that was you. I couldn't see from way up there. It took me a minute. But for 12 long years, no telling how many people that this lady, again, the Bible don't say this. How many people did she see get touched? How many people, Julie, did she see get delivered? It was their turn. And every time she saw somebody else get touched, I'm going to say something. Emotionally, psychologically, Brother Don Hunt, she just got a little bit lower and a little bit lower and a little bit lower. But my friend, she finally made up her mind one day that she was going to do something about her issue. And there comes a time in our lives, my life and your life and our life, that we've got to understand, Brother Beckner, that he loves me. Can I tell you something? And I thought about this today as I was traveling and driving and going doing things. I thought about Brother Cain. Y'all are going to kind of look at me sort of funny when I get ready to say what I'm getting ready to say. But death itself is a miracle. You say, what in the world are you saying that for, preacher? Because the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're here temporarily. This is not my home. We're all fading away like a leaf. James says that our life is like a wave that appears for a little while and then it's gone. Life is but a vapor. But the greatest miracle of it all is that 2,000 years ago, Brother Larry, Jesus Christ went to the cross. 2,000 years ago, when the Bible explicitly tells you and I that we were unclean. Are we okay? You say, well, I don't know about all that, preacher. Oh, I can take you right now to it. Look in Isaiah 64 and 6. We've all had issues. We've all had problems. We've all had struggles in the flesh. We've all had battles, war battles, and spiritually speaking. But the Bible talks about this, that we've all had issues. Isaiah 64 and 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. That little word, all, I've heard that other preachers have looked that up in dictionaries and concordances and Greek and all that. You know, they come to a conclusion that little word means one thing, all. All. And we've all are considered an unclean thing. The Bible even says that all of our righteousness, when Jesus pinpointed that woman and Jesus here, and he knew that the woman was there. Her uncleanliness, if you will, when others was not to be around her. She was to be quarantined. Let me tell you something, friend. There was a time in my life, the Bible says, that I was dead and in my trespasses and in my sins. But now, my friend, we have been made alive in him. Thank God for being made alive in him. But the Bible says that our righteousness, what dwelt within you, man and woman, is unclean. The Bible said we're as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. But the cross was the reconciliation. It was the reconciling thing that took place in the life of Jesus that brought healing to everybody that'll call on his name. Look in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1, verse number 18. I love this. He says, if you begin to look at this, he gives this great invitation. He tells us what we were, and he talks to this people of Israel, and he reminds Israel, and God still loves Israel, and God's still trying to woo Israel, and we're under the new covenant. I understand that, but the Bible still is showing us a portrait of God, what God wants to do for lost humanity. And he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Watch this. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. We have the old song, the old hymn book. We love it. Nothing but the blood. What'll wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other fount I know that can make you and I white as snow. But this woman had this issue. And I submit unto you that all of us at one time or another in our lives, we've all had issues. The Bible reminds us, if you begin to look at the shame that this woman carried, commentary reminded us of this, that for 12 long years, she had this issue. For 12 long years, it was a constant bleed, if you will, that deemed her unclean so that she could not even go into the temple where others went, and how that she was being ostracized and treated bad by the Jews. She had been deemed unclean 12 years, tried it man's way. There's messages in every bit of this. Tried it man's way. Money gone. Got worse. All the shame, all the embarrassment, everything that was associated with her. May I tell you tonight that all of these things were stacked against her. And I want to say this to somebody. Don't break down before you break through. Are you with me? 12 years. 12 years of agonizing every day. Getting up and dealing with this thing. And under the unction of the Holy Spirit tonight, I don't know how long you've been dealing with something. I don't know how long you've been in the condition that you're in. I don't know how long that sadness has gripped your heart. I don't know how long loneliness has gripped your heart. I don't know how long that living a life that seems to be a misfit or an unfit or a no good or a useless piece of work. God sent me by here tonight to tell you that you're not forgotten. That everything you've been through is just a process of the unexpected. I remember a song, The Shepherds Was Here, June the 25th. I wonder why I remember that date. For those of you that don't know, I was here in church that morning. But that night I was over in Thomasville Hospital getting my appendix taken out. The Shepherds Was Here that morning. Years ago, Deborah Shepherd wrote a song. And that's where I believe tonight that God put this message on my heart. And these songs connected this message. Yes, he'll do it again. But Deborah wrote that song, There's a Miracle in the Making. Jairus thought that Jesus was going to see his daughter. The unexpected miracle was when the woman said, oh, but if I can only get to Jesus. The words of that song is simply this. The crowd was great. But she knew she had to reach him. For it is her last hope of ever being healed. So she pressed through. Until she touched the hem of his garment. Oh, and right then and there, the miracle was fulfilled. Second verse is this. It says, have you prayed and prayed and still you find no answer? Has your faith grown weak and you feel you're all alone? Don't give up. for the God that you serve won't leave you. Let me say that line again. Don't give up, for the God you serve won't leave you. There's a miracle for you. Just keep holding on. And then the chorus just simply says, there's a miracle in the making. One for you. The Father is working even now. Are y'all out there tonight? He says, she says in her song, your prayers have been heard and the answer's on the way. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but God sent me by here long enough tonight to tell somebody, maybe on the internet, somebody online tonight, that you just hold on to God. Don't give up. Don't quit too early. That your miracle is on the way. Your prayers have been heard and the answer's on the way. That there's a miracle in the making for you today. Somebody give God a praise in the house. When I began to think about that, she focused her attention on Christ. And I want you and I to get to the place in our church, this church, that we focus our eyes and we focus our attention back on Jesus. Can I tell you that Jesus has been left out of the church long enough? We're just like that Laodicean church that was increased with goods. They had need of nothing. And the Bible said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. It may not be everybody in the room, but I believe that Jesus is standing. Hey, my friend, he's wanting back in the church again. I was mentioned at lunch, not told, but mentioned at lunch by the parties that I was with, that this great old large church, am I right? Great old big large church was trying to get people in for this Easter service. I don't know this for a fact, don't quote me. But the leader of that church said, We don't want to be offensive, so we're not gonna mention the blood at the next service, the Easter service. And we're not going to give no invitation for salvation. We just want you to come and be a part. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't want to ever preach and not mention the blood. I don't ever want to preach and let sinners know, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, he's the one that bled. He's the one that died. He's the one that suffered. He's the one that gave his life on Calvary, not for a cakewalk, not for just something that he needed to do, but my friend, so that you and I could stand here tonight free and delivered by what Jesus did. She said, oh, if I can but touch his garment. I don't know how. I don't know how, but different ones has actually said that she might have kind of slipped down in the crowd, hoping that nobody would see her. Because remember, she's unclean. She's not supposed to touch the priest. She's not supposed to be there. But somehow, Jesse, she just knew, I've got to touch him. What would it be today in the church? I almost got myself in trouble. Okay, I did get myself in trouble. If on a Sunday night, if I was more concerned about Jesus touching you and touching me than I was going down to Dario and get me an ice cream cone. I don't mind going to Dario and get me an ice cream cone, but I want God to get done in this house before we go to that house. That's a good place to dwell on Sunday night. There's good people over there and we have a good time. Good fellowship. They're not cussing. They're not drinking beer. They're not drinking liquor. They're not smoking pot. Not in the building that I'm in anyway. They may do it somewhere else. It's a good place to hang out. They play Jesus music. It's a good place to hang out. There's your plug for Dario. But here's the thing. They play Christian music all the time. But here's the thing. Brother Hull, I want him to touch me a whole lot more than I need anything else in my life. Y'all can look at me and tell me, I sure ain't missed too many ice cream cones. Don't you laugh at me. She said within herself, oh, but if I can just touch. And somehow I feel that in my heart tonight as Jody comes. If I can just touch Jesus again. If the church can just touch Jesus again. May I share a few more remarks with you tonight? And again, I didn't get done. I just feel like this is where God's telling me something. Ephesians 3 and 20, you can turn there real quick, and then we're going back to the end of this story, this event. It's not a story, it's an event. When you look at Ephesians 3, verse 20, the Bible says these words. Now unto him. Now unto him. Who is the him? Jesus. Y'all okay? Now unto him. Not your neighbor, not your banker. Unto him. Unto him. That is able. We in the church need this tenacity that this woman had and the faith that this woman had. Oh, if I can only but touch Jesus. That's the key to the church. Sinners will be saved. Backsliders will come. God says, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. You know, I can tell you, according to the scripture, that Jesus loves sinners. How many of you know that? We have a harder time loving sinners than Jesus does. Because Jesus went to remember a couple of weeks ago, Zacchaeus? That little wee man we talked about, that they accused him, Brother West. Jesus went to the house of a sinner. The Bible says they that are whole need not a physician, but it's they that are sick. But the Bible says, now unto him that is able. In her mind, I'm sure that she said, he can do it. Oh, I wish we had that kind of faith today. Man, I tell you, that this place would be full, running over. If people would just get back to the place that we see Jesus through the eyes of the Spirit, not just through the eyes of the flesh. Not just through the eyes of how we perceive Jesus to be some type of white American Anglo individual, our way. That's the way we think. Now, you may not, but we've done that. The Bible reminds us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. No man's seen God at any time. We know that. The Bible, the closest thing we know is Moses, where Moses was over in the Old Testament. Lord took him and hid him in the cleft of the rock, and he's seen the latter parts. When Moses was there, Moses was crying and saying, show me your glory. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. In other words, God will exceed your expectations. Are you with me tonight? Above all that we ask or think. Now watch this. According to the power that worketh within us. What does the Bible say in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse number 8? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here's several things that we need to look at really, really fast, really fast. When you begin to see this, that she's the miracle was there. And she knew within herself, if she could touch that tallit, that seat, the words that was at the bottom of that garment that Jesus wore, she knew if she could touch those threads that had the Word of God interwoven within them, if she could touch the Word of God and the Word of God would touch her, she knew that she could be made whole. Our circumstances, our life circumstances, if you will draw us near Christ, or it is by our own choices that we will walk away or pull away. But yet we can see that in this woman had a chronic illness, if you will, constantly tormented, constantly ostracized and constantly tormented by her pain. But yet we look at her and we can see that she was imperfection. We can see that she was flawed. But yet, she had an expectation within her heart. And she said, oh, if I can but touch him. Where has the expectation gone from the church. God, we expect you to do something. I remember those days as you stand with me. I remember those days. I remember those days when we would come to church. There's another song that comes to mind. We won't leave here like we came, in Jesus' name. Bound, tormented, sick, or lame, the song says, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Then we see that where this woman reminds us, she'd spent everything she had, she grew worse. She came through, she said, but if I can but touch Jesus. Now like this in verse 28, this is what she says. If I can but touch his clothes, that seat, that word of God that was at the fringes, at the bottom of his garment, the robes that Jesus wore, priests wore at that time. This is what she says. I like this little bitty word, one letter. If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. That I is you tonight. That I, Brother Jesse, is your back. Your back tonight can be healed in this. I believe that. I believe there's people under the sound of my voice. I believe that God wants to. God didn't just send me by here by mistake. I believe that God can, and I believe that God will. And I know that God wants to do it more than you do. And she said, oh, but if I can touch his clothes, I shall be whole. How many of you believe that? Say it with me. I shall be whole. Say it again. I shall be whole. Can you get out right there? You know I do crazy services. You know that. Come here a minute. Turn me on right here, one of you. We heard Don. I'm not going to tell your story. Make it short, but no more than 10 minutes. Y'all, sit down a minute. I'm sorry. I thought I was done, but God said, nope.
Back in 30-some years ago, I think it was, I had a hysterectomy. And I thought, okay, I'll be okay. Well, after that, I couldn't go to the bathroom. I mean, I could not go. And so I said, well, something's going on. I thought I was going to die. I was ready to die. I was in so much pain. Aaron was able to work at the time, and he was gone 3 nights a week. The nights that he was gone, I could sleep in the bed because I could roll around. The nights he was home, I had to sleep on the couch. And I slept with my knees up to my chin. So I went to the doctor, and I said, please, you know, I went to the gynecologist first. I said, something's going on. I said, I don't know if you nicked a bowel, cut a bowel, or what happened when the surgery was done. He said, well, I can't do anything for you, but I'll send you to a gastroenterologist. So I went to the gastroenterologist. And I said, please tell me I don't have cancer. I was 38 at the time. He said, I can't tell you that because cancer knows no age. So he said, well, we'll have to do a colonoscopy. I just love those things. First one I ever had, I thought I was going to die from that too. But anyway, so I had to go to the hospital to have that done because I was in such bad shape. The next day, the gastroenterologist, I was coming awake enough under the anesthesia from the colonoscopy, and I heard him talking to another doctor, and I thought, I bet I know who he's talking to. Come to find out, he was talking to Dr. Peterson, a surgeon. So when I woke up, I said, can I go home? He says, no, I can't let you go home. He says, we found something. So that evening, the surgeon came in. I said, I'm so hungry, because I'd gotten to the point I couldn't even eat. And I said, I'm so hungry, I'd love to have a beef roast. Can I please go home and eat? He said, oh yeah, you can go home and eat, but when you come back, you're going to have another colonoscopy. I said, forget it. I've gone without eating this long. One more day won't matter. So the next day, they did surgery. I had a polyp that had turned cancerous, had 3/4 of my bowel blocked. Martha can attest to this. She helped me one evening do a procedure on myself to help me go to the bathroom. I think my bowel ruptured that night. I screamed with pain. So, but anyway, to make a long story short, the doctor said when he got in there, my bowel had actually ruptured and everything that was in my bowel was now in my stomach cavity. And Aaron said they stood me up on the operating table and washed me out with betadine because gangrene had just about was getting ready to set in. He told Aaron I wouldn't have lived another 2 weeks had they not found it. But he also said that that cancer was encapsulated in a pocket of pus and it didn't spread. And my mom said, you know, the devil might have put it there, but God built a hedge around it. That is my miracle. I would have died. I thought I was going to. Thought I was going to die. I really wouldn't have cared. I was in so much pain. But God, and that song that Deborah,
Shepherd
wrote is my testimony. I had a miracle in the making. I didn't know I needed one, but God was doing one.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful. I lived to see my girls grown. They were still young, still at home, still in school. Lived to see their children and now a great-grandchild. I would have missed all of that, but God had other plans. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. Thank you. Those unexpected miracles. Now you can stand with me for real. Let me ask you a question tonight. And I know that you may have somewhere to go or something to do. But just right there where you stand. If there's somebody in the room tonight, you say, Pastor Green, I'm one of those that need a miracle. Can I see your hand? I'm not going to do anything to you. We're just going to pray where you're at in your seat. I'm not going to come up here and do anything tonight. Let me see your hand. If you're one of those that need a miracle, hold them up high. Somebody close to somebody that's got their hand raised, just reach over and lay your hand on their shoulder tonight. Father, you see every hand tonight in this room. You see every person, God, that by the raising of their hand, they say, Lord, they need a miracle. God, we read in your word where you're no respecter of persons. And God, what you've done for Sister Beckner and what you've done for Don Hunt and what you've done for Russell and what you've done over and over and over and over again for people in this room, you can do it in this room tonight. And God, like the hot oil from heaven, God, I pray right now that you would just pour it down upon their head. I pray, God, that you would take heaven's anointing oil and pour it on every person in this room. That, God, that there would be healing in this room. There would be power in this room. There would be authority in this room. That, God, there is nothing that the blood of Jesus can't take care of. I believe the blood of Jesus tonight. Okay. Hey, Ken, will you come? She wants to stand in tonight for your wife. I believe that God wants to do things in your life and my life. This woman took the incentive to reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Symbolically tonight, if you can just reach out. The Bible talks about that, but yet we sing, reach out and touch the Lord. He's passing by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Stretch your way towards Sister Betty tonight. She wants to pray for Rachel Slate. We're just believing God. Father, we just pray tonight that God, that you would touch her. Don't you love him tonight? Don't you love him tonight? I'm glad he's a miracle working God. I'm glad he's a miracle working God. The Bible said that I have not seen nor ear heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. When you leave tonight, I want you to walk out of here different than you came. And I want you to claim God's miracle over your life. Sherry and I've got needs and family and children, and I got 4 grandchildren. And I'm praying for their salvation as they grow, as they get a little older, that God would touch them, that God would help them, that God would bring them to a saving knowledge while they're young. I don't want it when it's 18, 19, 20. I want it when they're little, when they're young. Let them come to Jesus. Let them know Jesus young, while they're young. Let's pray for Debbie and Larry tonight. Some of you can come and pray with us if you want to.